Hare Krishna. Is it audible? Is it audible to everybody?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. A little bit louder, please. All of you can hear? Behind? Hare Krishna. So we'll chant some prayers before we start.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Everybody.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara
Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana.
Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please everybody sing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Nithai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol,
Hari Bol, Hari Bol,
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Everybody please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram
Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Devim Saraswatim
ततो जया मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. Everybody sing. कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. आई एम ग्रेटफुल फॉर गिविंग हैविंग द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू बी अमंगस्ट यू in IIT Bombay today on the occasion of Sri Janmashtami of year 2010. It's a very auspicious and holy occasion. Many of us think that it's a kind of enjoyments of all the festivals that we have in India. So people are climbing on each other and breaking the handis on the road, drinking wine, having fun, eating vada pav. The Rang Panchami comes, and that is also another festival. Boys throw colors on girls, girls throw colors on boys, men and women, women and men. Another festival goes, and Holi comes, and they all make noise, burn something. We feel that it's just fun. No doubt it is fun. It has got great spiritual significance. It is not something which is very superficial and ordinary. Our culture in India is very, very deep and profound, for which we should be proud of. It is not simply a passing by enjoyment on the level of body and senses. Sri Krishna has come down on earth to perform his pastimes. Why he comes down? What is the meaning of this Janmashtami? Why we are celebrating Janmashtami? Because the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, we call him Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why Godhead? Because there are many, many gods. And he is the Supreme Personality of all the gods. He personally comes down from the spiritual world because he loves all of us. Mamai vancho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The scriptures explain us that all of us are his eternal parts and parcels. Eternal amshas. As a father loves his children, he loves all of us because he is our eternal supreme father. Bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram surudam sarva bhutanam jnatma mam shantir mucchate. He is surudam sarva bhutanam. He is the best friend of all the living entities. He is accompanying everybody as a paramatma in the heart. Whether one is in the body of a worm in the stool, whether one is in the body of a bird or a human being or reptile or aquatic, in whichever form the life is, the Supreme Lord is accompanying us as Paramatma. And why is he coming down again from spiritual world? Because we have all lost him. We forgot him. We gave up his service. We gave up his company. We gave up his love. Like a notorious son gives up his father. He doesn't want to follow the rule of his father or the domain of his father. So he is out of the house, wandering on the street. But the father is very loving. Even though son has disobeyed him, left him, abandoned him, and he is suffering on the road, the father still is wondering how I can get my son back. Now we have seen so many fathers in our world, our friends' fathers and our fathers. The father cannot rest in home very at peace till the son comes back. He's sending his brother, he's sending his friends, he's sending so many people to connect with the lost son and try to bring him back home. Now when the son decides, says, I will come back home, father becomes very happy. At times the father will go himself and tell the son, oh dear son, you are suffering on the road. You are hungry, you don't have enough clothes to wear. Why are you suffering like this? All my property is yours. Just come back. And then the son decides, yes, I will come back. All the problems of the son who is suffering on the road, are finished. Because all the heritage is his. He inherits all the property of his father just by saying, yes, my father, thank you very much. If suppose Mr. Ambani, who is the multi-billionaire, I don't know how many thousands of crores he has, but he has lots, I know that. His son has to do only one thing. He has to say, yes, my father. All the time he has to say, yes, sir. What happens? One day Mr. Ambani will die and all the property will become his property. Only out of inheritance. So this is a very important thing to understand. All of us are Lord's children. And all of us by nature inherit the property of the Lord. But we have forgotten all that. Forgetting Him, we have come back to the material world. We have accepted this body, which we are very proud of, which the businessman was very proud of his resignations and of his position, of his power, of his money, of his intelligence, very proud of. And while we are having this body, of which we are very proud, we are suffering the pangs of disease, old age. Not all of us. We are all young IIT students. Some of us are old here, and some of us will become old in future, all of us. And one day death will come, right? As long as the body is there, there will be birth. The body will take birth one day. It will grow. It will become old. It will get diseased. And one day when time comes, body will be finished. No one can say that I am Prime Minister of America or President of America, I will not die. I am the President of the most advanced country. Can he say that? No. Death will come without fail. So this is our problem. We want to enjoy this world and the property of the world and the resources of this world. But death will come one day and take us away from the body that we are attached to. This is making some sound. Can you just make it proper, please? So Lord Sri Krishna is coming down again and again to claim us, to remind us. He says, Sarvasya Saham Hridi Sannivishto Mataha Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. So I am the giver of knowledge. I am the giver of remembrance, and I am the also giver of forgetfulness. When bad things happen, we do forget in the course of time. It is a benediction to forget bad experiences. He gives us good things and good happiness and events of joy, which we remember. And He also gives us knowledge who we are. We are not this body. We are spirit soul. We belong to Him. He is our eternal Father. This body has one mother and father, and we have gone through many, many lifetimes like this, and we have a set of mother and father, sets of mother and father, many, many of them, as the bodies are changing. But He remains constant, the Supreme Father. So He comes down again and again, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. We are hearing this in Mahabharata serial. Paritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Dushkutam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. I come down again and again, He says, to deliver the devotees, destroy the miscreants, to establish dharma, the original nature of the living entity. I come again and again, every yuga, Sambhavami, I come again and again. Why He comes? Because He wants to claim all of us. We have all forgotten Him, He wants to remind all of us. What is our original position? Where do we belong? In our medical terminology, there is one term called amnesia. Any of you know what is amnesia? Amnesia means you forget everything. In the Hindi film you see, the heroine is going in a fast moving car and there's an accident, and then the hospital, they open her eye bandage and she says, "Main kahan hoon? Main kaun hoon?" She forgotten everything because of the accident and the injury on the brain, the severe shock condition. She's forgotten her name, her mother, her father, her address, her education, her caste, her everything she has forgotten. So we call this as amnesia. And how do we treat the amnesia condition? Then we take the patient to the situations where he or she was before. The house and the school and the garden and the friends and the beloveds and the so many things that the person was with. We take that person to there and try to speak about those things where the person was. And gradually by being in the situation again and again, the memory is revived. And the person after many years sometimes comes back to the, some not very full memory, but lots of memory comes back. That yes, I was his son and I was his sister and I was her brother and whatever. I was a doctor and I was also practicing here and studying over here. This is my college, this is my school, this is my childhood ground I was playing, and everything that comes back to memory. So like that, today we have forgotten who we are. We think I am this body. But when we chant the holy name of the Lord, when we follow some regulatory principles and we eat prasad of the Lord, we read from scriptures, gradually our lost memory becomes revived. We come to know who we are. And that is why Lord comes. Today's topic is the eternal road show. In the Western world there are many people, many troops are there. And they go from one city to another city, one village, one township to another township, and they perform some drama. Each time they perform drama, they have a message to give. In the olden days when we were fighting for freedom, there were some road shows like that. You know, people would go, the revolutionary people like who gave us freedom from British rule, they would perform dramas and they would give message. Lokmanya Tilak and Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel, they would be also encouraging this kind of things. And through the enactment of dramas, they will give a message and people will understand, yes, this is what we should do. And that's how they will end up in one village and go to another village. That means the drama troupe remains same, but they travel from one place to another. And they meet different people and they give same message to different people at different times. The Lord also is performing His eternal road show. He is taking birth in Mathura, then going to Gokul, from there to Vrindavan, from there to Nandagam, then from there to Mathura again, to Hastinapur, to Dwarka, then Mahabharata war is arranged, and everybody is killed, and Pandavas remain, and He also disappears one day. But that doesn't end there. It goes on from one planet to another. Here it goes on, the road shows, from one village to another, one township to another. But in case of the Lord, the drama troupe performs for hundreds of years. And there are hundreds of messages and millions of messages for us. So that we can revive ourselves while witnessing those road shows. And then the Lord packs up, it takes his troop and goes to another planet. And there the whole drama begins. Because everywhere in Ananta Koti Brahmanda, in the many, many hundreds and millions of universes that exist in the galaxy, there are people living. Human being may not be able to explore everything with his limited knowledge and scientific advancement. But there are many, many planets and many, many people much more advanced than all of us. And they also have forgotten the Lord as their eternal Father. So the Lord goes there also and performs. Same kind of pastimes in different places. How do we understand this? If we see the sun rising in the eastern horizon, we may say the sun is rising from east. Actually, is he rising from east? No, he is there only. The earth is moving and the sun appears to have risen and the sun appears to have been setting, right? But the sun is everywhere at some point of time. It is said very jokingly sometimes that it is 6 a.m. sometimes somewhere in the world. Now also there is 6 a.m. somewhere, right? You go back geographically and time-wise and understand, there is somewhere 6 a.m. And all time in the day, there is 6 a.m. somewhere. The sun is rising there, right? So similarly, as the sun is not changing its position, earth is changing in respect to the sun. So we think that sun is rising and sun is setting. Sun is appearing and disappearing. Sun is taking birth and sun is dying. But this is all relative terminology. In our physics, you understand relativity. So similarly, the Lord is eternally there with all of us. But He appears to take birth and appears to go away at one point of time. And all this is from beginning of appearance and from to the end, there are so many things happening in between. And everything that the Lord is doing and the pastime that is performing, there are so many instructions and so many beautiful things that we learn and we revive ourselves. The goal of life is to realize who we are. What is our nature? What is our position? And for that reason, to make us understand, the Lord comes again and again. Otherwise, it is said that the Lord is so much engrossed in performing loving pastimes with His devotees that doesn't want to come anywhere else, doesn't want to leave His place. So the Supreme Lord, in His eternal form, resides in the spiritual world, never quits that world. But His expansion, a portion of His, comes down on the material world. And some people think, oh, He has come down like us. Avajananti mam muda manushim tanumashritam. Tanumashritam means accepting a body. He also has become like us only. It's like one day Prime Minister may come to a jail to do supervision and to give instruction. The prisoner may think, oh, he also has come to join us by performing some sin, you know, some crime. He may think like that. But it is an illusion for the prisoner to think like this. The Prime Minister has come to supervise and to give instructions. But the common man in the prison thinks that he is also like one of us now. He will be now breaking stones with us. So Krishna says that when I come down accepting a body like yours, people think that I am like them only, taking birth and dying, becoming old and deceased. It is not so. He remains transcendental. He remains beyond the worldly rules and regulations when He comes down, because He is Supreme Lord. And He comes down and moves around everybody, within everybody, and guides us. So to realize, to give us a realization that we are His part and parcels. Wakes us up from ignorance, from the slumber of ignorance, and performs His pastimes. We have to be very grateful to Him, because He has no business here. But still, out of great love, He comes. There's a nice story in Akbar and Birbal's stories. He says that, Birbal said that, out of love, the father can do anything for them. So Birbal also was telling that how the Lord comes and how He helps. Akbar said, no, I don't believe all these things. Why He has to come? He's so powerful. Why He has to come Himself? So Birbal said, I will tell you one day. And they were all one day rowing in the boat, in the lake, having nice boat rides. And all the queens were there, all the soldiers were guarding from distance, and queen was there, and the king was there, his son was there, his grandson was there, everybody was just enjoying. And suddenly the grandson slips from the boat while doing some mischief, and he falls in the water. Immediately Akbar just drops everything and jumps in the water, swims across, gets the baby and comes back in the boat. Birbal said, see, you had so many soldiers, so many people guarding, all of you enjoying. Why you jumped inside? Your soldier could have jumped inside the water and saved your grandson. No, no, I love my grandson. Out of love I jumped. He said, you, having so many resources, still out of love yourself jumped in the water to save your grandson. In a similar way, the Lord doesn't need to come here to save all of us. But He comes, Himself personally comes. Because He loves all of us. So He gives up His eternal pastimes there in one sense. And a portion of His comes down out of love to deliver us. So we have to reciprocate with the Lord. The Lord is very, very kind. His kindness cannot be compared with. Sometimes the living entity is residing in the body of a worm in the stool. Such an abominable condition. But still in that position, the Lord is accompanying that soul as Paramatma in the body of a worm in the stool. Who can be a better friend in this? We always say, A friend in need is a friend indeed. That's what we say. We are all time in the need. We are all time in the need of getting out of the cycles of birth and death. And we are wandering from one life to another life. So-called human life, and from there we can go to bird life and animal life, and so many lives are there suffering the pangs of birth, old age, disease and death. Helplessly wandering, performing karmas, performing activities, suffering the reactions, good and bad, in different bodies which are having sometimes power of speech or sometimes there is no power of speech, only some quacking sounds and only some communication, no arts. Many lifetimes you see. Not as much as facilities as we have, right? Human beings have access to music, access to dance, access to poetry, access to prose, access to creating things, access to writing things and research and making our life more and more comfortable by advancements. So many facilities are given. But still, if we think we are this body, then we keep suffering, and one day death will take us away from all the enjoyments that we have. All that we think is ours, all that we think we possess and own, has been taken away by the point of death. The Lord is telling us, you do not have to die and take birth again and again. Come to my abode. Come to my abode where there is no birth, no old age, no disease and death. There is time in the position of being inconspicuous by its absence. Time is not acting. Here time is acting, right? I was one day 5-year-old, next day 10-year-old sometimes. Time is not stopping here. Time is continuously going ahead. From morning to evening to night, and from days to weeks to months and years, and seasons are changing, everything is changing. Time is very effective here. In the form of time, the Lord is taking away everything from us. Our youth, our intelligence, our memory, everything will go away one day. In the form of time, Lord says, I destroy everything and I take away everything. So He says, there is a world where there is no time acting upon you. Everyone remains 16-year-old beautiful youth as the Lord is there also. And they are performing eternal loving pastimes with Him. What are we looking for in this world? We are looking for in this world also for love, happiness. And we come to know gradually that the happiness is not in money, not in position, not in power, not in influence. The happiness is in relationships. Is that right? I think all of you are really intelligent people. You will be knowing, and you should know, that happiness lies in relationships. If you have real loving friends and relatives, you are most happy. If you have lots of money, tons of properties and resources and influences, but no one to love, then we are most miserable and most poor. We have just heard about Michael Jackson of late, you know. So much of property that he was owning an island. And a yacht. Oh, we cannot imagine what the cost of all those things. But he died a very lonely death. With no friend. With drugs on. With frustration. With depressions. With skin and bones. Only 35 kilos. What is the use of all that money, power, fame, influence? It couldn't help him. He was on so many drugs at one time together. And he died of drug overdose. Some people say he was murdered. So this is the reality of our life in this material world. We are getting education, we are getting money, we are getting fame, position. But these things do not give us happiness. They only give us frustration in the course of time. But the person who has loving relationships, although he is a poor person, he is happy. If you have a lot of loving people around you, and you don't have much position and fame and name and influence, still you can be happy. So the Lord is telling us that love is the biggest force, which actually satisfies truly the soul. And we all are looking for love, not knowing what we are looking for. Actually, we are looking for love only. We are looking for happiness because that is our eternal nature. Our true nature is seeking happiness. In Sanskrit, we say Satchidananda. Satchidananda means eternity. We all are eternal. Chit means we all are full of knowledge. And Ananda means we are always pleasure seeking and full of pleasure. So, by nature, we are seeking for all these things through education, through money, through marriage, through families, through nation, through countries. What are we looking for? Loving relationships. But all the loving relationships in this material world are temporary. Controlled by time. If people really love you in this material world, When they die, our love is broken. Most of the time in the material world, the love is broken much before we die. Everything is temporary. No one has true love. They only have love for the body and for the money you have and for the fame you have and for the influence that you have and for the resources that you have. True love doesn't depend on all these things. And the Lord is talking about that true love between the soul and soul, between the soul and the Lord. And that is why our life is designed as human life. Athato Brahma Jignasa. This human life, after having attained this human life, the sole purpose of this life is to understand who we are, that we are Satchidananda Atma, and our relationship with the Lord is He is a Father, Eternal Father, and we are His children, and to establish the lost connection, the lost relationship is the goal of life. To reconnect ourselves with the Lord and re-establish our lost relationship is the very purpose of our human life. All this medical knowledge and being a doctor and being an engineer in IIT and being a businessman after doing MBA and all this is just simply to maintain the body, to survive. That is not the end in all. The goal of life is to maintain this body nicely with some profession by feeding it and giving it rest and giving recreation. But all the other times, whatever we are making it freely available, should be used to re-establish our relationship with the Lord. And for that purpose, the Lord is sending scriptures to give knowledge to us, to revive our lost memory. The Lord is sending saintly people who are realized, who give us this knowledge, who enlighten us with this knowledge. The Lord is giving His prasadam, the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is giving His holy name, because we are not able to perform tapasya, we are not able to perform tyag, we can't go to forest giving up family and money and everything. We are not able to perform dhyan, giving up all the attachments. So He says, no problem. I will incarnate in my holy name. And you simply chant your holy name wherever you are, whatever you are doing, keep doing. Don't change your profession, don't give up family, don't give up money. Just stay wherever you are. Just take the holy name of mine and chant sincerely. You will attain me without fail. Do not offend the devotees and saintly people in the world. Chant the holy name. You will one day come back to me. So what is the meaning of this? He has made it very simple for us. In the earlier ages, we had to perform dhyana, we had to perform tapasya, we had to perform temple worships. Not like today. Very, very elaborate and meticulous. But today, the yoga dharma, or the easiest way, or the sublime way of deliverance, is to chant the holy name of the Lord. One can say, I will not chant the holy name of the Lord. But can anybody say, I cannot chant the holy name of the Lord? Any human being can say, I cannot. No. The way it is made and designed that everybody can chant the holy name. He may be poor, he may be rich, he may be beautiful, he may be ugly. He may be educated, he may be uneducated. He may be healthy, he may be diseased. He may be old, he may be young. He may be man or a woman. In all variety of dual conditions of life, one can chant the holy name. That is the mercy of the Lord. He has made the way of attaining Him very, very easy and very, very simple. Anybody can do it. You can't say only when you become Brahmin and study Bhagavatam, then you can chant the holy name of the Lord. It's not like that. Even if somebody is illiterate, if somebody is not a Brahmin, somebody is born in a very wretched caste, doesn't matter. One can chant the holy name and attain the same result as the topmost Brahmin will attain after reading Srimad Bhagavatam and thousands of verses of scriptures. That is the kind of process the Lord has given. No restrictions, no discrimination, and no conditions which are very difficult to follow. So this Janmashtami day, the holy appearance of the Lord, is very, very significant in our lives. Actually, Janmashtami can be every day. What is the meaning of Janmashtami? It is the birth of the Lord. We say in our spiritual language, appearance of the Lord, because Lord doesn't take birth and die like we do. The Lord appears and disappears at His own sweet will. But the Lord can appear in your life every single day, every single moment. Wherever you remember Him, He has appeared in your heart. Whenever you think of Him, He is there in your heart. He has taken birth immediately. So this once in a year Janmashtami day comes because we can remember and we can remind ourselves that He is there. And Then onwards, when we understand that he is there, he is taking birth, this is his pastime. Every day can be Janmashtami. Every single day can be a wonderful day of celebration. In the life of a devotee, or in spiritual life, every day is a festival and every day is a celebration. Because every day the devotee gets up in the morning and chants the holy name, worships the Lord, offers food to him, eats prasadam, reads his message every day, like everybody reads newspapers, what is happening in India and abroad. We read scriptures every day before we even look at the newspaper. Well, that is a celebration. To remember the Lord. To become saturated with His memory. In love and devotion. All these so-called temporary material attachments appear very insignificant when you become a devotee of the Lord. That is the most important significance of Janmashtami. That He wants to take birth in our heart at every moment. Not once in a year. But once in a year is a reminder for us to let Him take birth every single moment in our life. It's such a great fortune. I will narrate to you in brief the beautiful story of Lord's appearance. There was somebody called as Parjanya, King Parjanya, very great virtuous king of Sri Vrindavan Dham. He had 5 sons. The middle son was named as Nanda. The eldest son was called as Upananda, then Abhinanda, then Nanda, then Sunanda, and then Nandan, 5 brothers. So Parjanya, the king, made the eldest son the king. Once he wanted to retire, and then he made his eldest son king. And the eldest son decided to make his middle brother a king. So he told his father that, this brother of mine, who is 3rd in number, the most virtuous of all of us, he is fit to become king. So now you have made me king, now I give my kingly position to my younger brother, who is the middle brother. And this Nanda was full of great qualities. Compassion, kindness, generosity, knowledge, cleanliness, devotion, worship, from all point of view. He was a great person. And there was another village, which is very close to Vrindavan, where there was a king called Sumukha. And this Sumukha had a very wonderful daughter, whose name was Yashoda. Yashoda means one who gives success. Yashda, that means one who gives success whenever you come in contact with her. She was so famous for her devotional qualities that whoever would remember her also will create all auspiciousness in her life. So Nanda and Yashoda got married in the course of time. Everybody was very joyous. She became the queen of Vrindavan. He was the king of Vrindavan. They were ruling the kingdom very beautifully. They had lakhs and lakhs of number of cows which they would take care of. Herd the cows, milk the cows, take the milk out, make the butter, make the yogurt, and sell in Mathura, wander in Mathura area, and live very happily taking care of cows. But one misery was there, that they had no children for a long, long time. Nanda Maharaj became 85-year-old. Yashoda also similarly became old, but no children. So they decided to go and shift at the bank of Yamuna river. That is Gokula. But also if you go to Vrindavan, you'll find Gokul is at the bank of Yamuna. So very soon Vasudev and Devaki. Vasudev was a friend of Nanda Maharaj. Devaki was the daughter of King Devaka. Cousin sister of Kamsa, the demon king. Ugrasen was the king of Mathura. And the son was Kamsa. And Kamsa arrested his father and put him in jail and became king forcefully. And the day came when Devaki was getting married to Vasudev. And the king, Kamsa that time, who forcefully became king, out of love for his sister Devaki, was riding a chariot as a charioteer. Chariot is a Sudra position, you know, it's like worker class. But out of love for his sister, he was himself making the horse run of the chariot. And while he was running very peacefully, the bugles were going on nicely, the music was going on, the girls were dancing on the road in happiness, and everybody was very joyous because the princess was getting married with the prince, Vasudev, going to their house. Suddenly the celestial voice came up. It said, "You fool, Kamsa! You are riding very happily the chariot of your sisters and a brother-in-law, but you do not know the 8th son of your sister will be the cause of your death." And immediately, he lost all his composure. All the love vanished. But the love was not based on spirituality. The love was based on body. As soon as body came in danger by the virtue of the curse, immediately took out a sword, held the hair of her sister and wanted to cut off her head. Vasudev, the most virtuous one, held his hand and preached him philosophy. He told him that, you are not his body. What I told you some time ago in the class. Same thing he told Kamsa. You are not his body. You are a spirit soul. The spirit soul doesn't die or take birth. The spirit soul is eternal. By the way, apart from philosophy, let me tell you that you don't have danger for my wife. She's not going to be the cause of death for you. Her eighth child will become the cause of death for you. I promise you, all my children, whenever they are born, I'll give back to you. You can do whatever you want. For time being, you release us. So he thought, barabar hai, it's right. I don't have worry from this woman who is helpless and poor and weak. So he's released them. Then Narad Muni came. Before that, the first child was born. And Vasudev came with the child. He says, my child, the first son, his name is Kirtiman. And I have, as my promise, I have brought him to you. See what is the virtue of Vasudev. Anybody can follow all the virtues and rules and regulations when things are very nice and fine. But integrity means you follow your rules and regulations and your promise and your word, even in the case of difficulty, even in the case of death also. So he came and Kamsa was really impressed. What integrity, what a value of a word. So he said, go, no problem. This was first child I don't have any danger from. Eighth child I am looking for. So take back your child, take back. With great so-called compassion, he said, take back your child. And so they were very happy to have saved his child. Just by keeping his word, he could save his child. He went back home and then Narad Muni came. And he brought a lotus flower. And told Kamsa, I will hold one petal and I will call it as first. You tell me which is the eighth one. So he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Then I changed the petal and I said, this is the first one. Then you count which is the eighth one. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, the previous eighth now become fifth. And now this is the eighth one. He said, any petal can be eighth one. Depends on which side you start with. Depends on which petal you start with. Any petal can become eighth one. You are taking a great chance. It is not good. It's dangerous. So immediately arrested Vasudev Devaki and put them back in jail. And every child, including the first one which was brought to him, he just smashed it to stone and smashed it to death. And six children were born in front of the eyes of Devaki. The common question may come in so-called logical minds of all of you. Why Devaki and Vasudev had to produce children in the first place? If they were not produced, then there was no question of death. No, but the Lord had promised that I will come as an eighth child and deliver the world of all the sinful burden. So it was their service to produce children till the eighth child was born, to make the way for the Lord to come in. So what kind of pains Devaki must have gone through? So to produce a child, to bear for 9 months and they be killed in front of own eyes mercilessly by her own brother. Six children were born and they were killed mercilessly by Kamsa. Every time he'd come with big loud laughter and he would smash the child, swirling in the air and smashing on the stone. And the seventh child was to be born. The Lord in Vaikuntha called his sister, called his energy, Maya Devi, Durga Devi, and told her that this seventh child you pull from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. Rohini was another wife of Vasudev, who was kept at Nanda Maharaj's house for the safety from Kamsa. So as soon as seventh child was conceived, it was pulled by Maya Shakti from Devaki's womb to the womb of Rohini, the eternal mother of Balramji. And then eighth child took birth, took shelter in the womb of Devaki. But not the way we conceive our children. First the Lord appeared in the heart of Vasudev. Vasudev became very effulgent, very beautiful, very smart, very shining. And then he transferred himself from the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki. And Devaki became very beautiful, very effulgent. Everybody was looking at her and she was looking so charming and so enlivening. Kamsa looked at her and got scared actually. So this effulgence and this power and this light emanating from a body is the cause of my death. So what was giving pleasure to everybody was giving fear to him. Why? Because he was very selfish. And then he transferred himself from the heart of Devaki, the womb of Devaki. And when Shravan month came, the 8th day of the waxing moon, waning moon came, the middle of the night, Rohini Nakshatra came at the time. The constellation became very beautiful. The moon was supposed to be half in size that day, but the moon said, who is a servant of the Lord, who said that the Supreme Lord, who is like a full moon, is going to appear, why should I remain half? So that day the moon appeared as full moon in spite of being Ashtami day. So in Rohini Nakshatra, at the midnight, in Shravan waxing moon, 8th day, the Lord appeared. Not the way we appear. He appeared in front of Devaki with 4 arms, with 4 weapons in the arms, with all weapons, all the ornaments, Kaustubh Mani, Vaijayanti Mala, the armlets, bracelets, these long jewelries on his body, effulgent like millions of moons. He appeared. But Devaki, in her maternal affection, was very scared. She said, no, no, no. This Kamsa, my brother, is very atrocious. He will come and kill you. Please become a small child. This is Vatsalya. This is motherly affection. Even the Lord has taken birth as her child. Still her affection as a mother remains as mother only. So the Lord, for her pleasure, became a small child and instructed Vasudev that please pick me up immediately in a basket, go across Jamuna and put me in the house of Nanda. And there Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, has given birth to a baby girl. You pick her up and bring her back to the jail of Kamsa. So Vasudev, as soon as Vasudev lifts the baby in the basket, all the soldiers who are guarding the prison, they go to yoga, they fall asleep uncontrollably. All the locks break, all the chains break, all the doors open, and Vasudev, just one after another, going after one after other gate, comes out of the jail. It was middle of the night, raining like anything. It was thundering, so heavy rain was going. Vasudev was walking, and he came to Jamuna. Jamuna was flooded like anything. Nobody would dare to get in Jamuna at that time. So much of water, so much of waves and thunder and shining in the sky was going on. Vasudev, out of his mood of service to the Lord, entered the water. And he was going knee deep and ankle deep and knee deep and thigh deep and waist deep and chest deep and the neck deep and the head deep. And he was shouting, please take care of my child is drowning. The child took out his legs. And the Yamuna flooded and touched the lotus feet of the Lord and immediately parted and gave way. Because Yamuna Devi is a devotee of the Lord. She's a goddess of spiritual world. She came as river. And she wanted to take the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord on her head. She wanted to touch the feet of the Lord and offer her dandavats, offer her pranams. That's why she was flooding. She came up, touched the feet of the Lord and immediately separated. And there was a clear road through Yamuna. As Vasudeva was walking, Jamuna was getting together again from behind, and there was clear road, and Vasudeva walked across Jamuna as if there was nothing, no water. He entered the house of Nanda. Yashoda Rani was just Hare Krishna. She had delivered a baby, and due to exhaustion of delivery, she had just gone to sleep. So Vasudeva quietly went, put his baby boy there, picked up the baby girl and again put her in basket and went again. Jamuna parted. He went through. As soon as he entered Mathura from the other side of the Jamuna, the jails, as soon as he entered, the door got closed. Again next door got closed, got locked. He went inside, and after going in his cell, the baby girl cried. As soon as the cry was heard, all the sleeping soldiers, they woke up. They ran to King Kamsa. In the middle of the night, Kamsa was sleeping. He said, wake up, king, wake up. The 8th child is born. The king woke up with a sword and came running to pick up the child. He says, Devaki, give my child. Give your child to me. He says, no, this is a baby girl. This is not a boy. Kamsa laughed very loudly. And he said, even the celestial voices nowadays start speaking lies. Up till now, all these voices coming from skies would be true. This time they have also spoken a lie. And he laughed loudly. But he still remembered Kamsa's words. I mean, Narad Muni's words. He didn't want him to take any chances. So he snatched the girl from the hands of Devaki and was about to smash her on the stone. That time this girl, who was Maya Devi herself, Durga Devi, the external potency of the Lord, slipped from his hand, went in the sky, assumed the eight-armed form of Devi and said, "You fool, you think that you're going to kill me? But the person who's going to kill you is already born somewhere else." So he immediately became morose and depressed. Said, "All the plans that I made, so many sinful activities of killing infant children, what is the use of that? The eighth child is gone somewhere else, and eighth girl came in my hand, she slipped out of my hand, she warned me again, my death is inevitable." So he became very humble, started begging pardon from Vasudeva and Devaki, "Please forgive me, my sister, I love you very much. I release you, please forgive me, I was haunted by ignorance. I will not do anything more, please go and enjoy your life." And Devaki, even after having so many atrocities against her, she forgave her brother. She said, "Okay, I forgive you." That is the quality of a devotee. The devotee is always, before the offense is committed, the devotee forgives. And the Kamsa went to meet his ministers to inform all his sad story of having no success in his plan. But all his friends and relatives and so-called his sardars, who were they? They were Trinavarta, they were Putana, they were Bhakasur, they were Agasur, they were Shaktasur, they were Dhenukasur, big, big demons that he had conquered. They all were his council, They all were his darbaris. And they said, "Oh Kamsa, why you become so morose? You don't have to become morose. We are all there with you. We will devise a plan. Find out that boy, where is he? And we'll finish him off." And the lady came. Her name was Putana. A very interesting story. Who is this Putana? She was a sister of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, who is son of Hiranyakashipu. And when the Brahmin Vamandev came in the assembly of fire sacrifice, the sister of Bali Maharaj, her name is Ratnamala, she thought that, "What a beautiful boy. I wish I can become his mother. I wish I can feed him on my breast milk." And then after some time, she was very encaptured by the beauty of this child, and she was enamored and she wanted to become his mother and feed him. In the course of time, this child, who was very attractive and very beautiful, snatched away all the property of her brother. And not only snatched everything, but put his foot on the King Bali Maharaj and pushed him in the hellish planets. She couldn't tolerate this. She said, "My dear brother, the Chakravarti Samrat who had conquered all the demigods, he has been pushed by foot to the hellish planet. I wish I can kill this child." So first she desired to become his mother and feed on breast. And second she desired, she wanted to kill. So she became Putana in her next life. And she said, "I will smear my breast with Kalakuta poison." Kalakuta poison, it is explained that even if somebody smells the vapors of Kalakuta, one will die. So she smeared her breast, poisoned her breast milk with Kalakuta, and she went to Gokul, assuming a very beautiful form. Actually, she was a Kesari. Kesari means one who flies in the sky. She will chant a mantra, and a small blade of grass will become her aeroplane. She will sit on the small blade of grass, and that will fly all over, and she will kill infant children and drink their blood. That is called Kesari. So she was that kind of a great demoness. So she disguised as a beautiful woman, because her whole form was very ghastly, so she knew nobody will accept her in Gokul. So she assumed a very beautiful form by Siddhi and went, and in everybody's house she will enamor everybody by her charms, and nobody will doubt her because she was so beautiful and charming and loving looking. She would take the child, put her to their breast, and the child would die, they'll throw the child and go to the next house. Nobody will know what's happening with the children. But nobody also doubted her. She was looking so motherly, so lovingly, so beautiful. And finally, killing thousands of children, she came to the house of Nanda. Rohini and Yashoda were very busy celebrating the birth year of Krishna. She was 1 year old, getting 1 year old. That day everything was busy, they were decorating the house and this beautiful lady came and said that, can I have the child in my arms? They said, yes, we were busy, so they gave the child in her arms. She took the baby away in the courtyard at the backside and put the baby to her breast. She thought, now the time, the kala, the killer of my brother will be killed very soon. The child was sucking the breast milk very beautifully. Putana was very happy. And suddenly the child was sucking and sucking and sucking and emptied all her breast and kept on sucking and sucking and sucking. Sucked all the poison and kept on sucking and kept on sucking and sucked the very life air out of the body of Putana. Putana was shouting, leave me, leave me, leave me, oh child, oh wretched child, leave me right now. But the child held on to her breast so tight that he sucked the life air out of Putana. And Putana, out of agony, of struggle between life and death, she lost her beautiful form and she assumed her original form, which was 12 miles long. And the baby was looking like a climbing on a mountain. No? Baby was still sucking her breast. And she was moving her arms and legs and shouting for help. And she left her body. And when she left her body, the spark of her life, the soul, entered in the body of Krishna. And then very soon all the cowherd boys came running, running, running. Saw baby Krishna on a huge mountainous demoness. So they immediately lifted the baby and said, what happened? How did you give this baby to this wretched demoness? So she came as a beautiful woman, we didn't know. So all the men came together and they broken the dead body into a pile of mountain of bones. And when they burnt the body smelt of aguru and all the scented items. So they were wondering, what happened? Why is this? Whenever we burn the flesh, it smells very bad. He said, because Lord Krishna touched his lotus lips to the body of this demoness, she became completely pure. In the agony of her life and death struggle, she was purified of all her sins. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam. What is the fortune of this Baki? Baki means the sister of Bakasur, Putana. What is her fortune? She came to kill the child with poison on the breast. But the Lord is so kind. The Lord ignored all her negative qualities. Only one thing He remembered or accepted, that she wanted to feed me on her breast as a mother. That only He remembered and kept, and everything else He forgot and ignored. And because of that, she got completely purified. And He gave her a position of Dhatri. Dhatri means a maid servant or a nurse in the spiritual world. He gave her liberation to spiritual world. Not just a dry liberation of freedom from cycle of birth and death. But along with freeing her from cycle of birth and death, He gave her a position of assistant to His eternal mother Yashoda in the spiritual world. Who else can be more merciful than the Supreme Lord? Even though one has come to kill Him, He ignores that also. Similarly, our Guru Maharaj also. Our heart is filled with so many anarthas, so many negative things. But Guru Maharaj will see only one thing, desire to serve the Lord. And he will keep fanning the desire to serve the Lord, make it into fire one day, and the fire will burn all the bad things in our heart and will become pure and go back to Krishna. That is how our Lord is. Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whatever pastimes He performs are uncomparable. Nobody can compare. Like when He lifted Govardhan, nobody knew what He was going to do. The rains were falling like cats and dogs and pillars from the sky. He said, come. You and me would have said, you have caused all these things. And now you are telling me, come behind us. Come behind me. Because you stopped the sacrifice of Indra, Indra got angry, now he is pouring pillars from the sky. Said, don't worry, come behind me. They all came with their cows and calves in their hands. And they were not knowing what He will do. But in front of their eyes, to their surprise, He lifted the whole mountain and held it above His head for 7 days and seven nights. They were all amazed. What kind of strength, what kind of miracle, what kind of power this child has. They were wondering, they were discussing under the mountain also. Oh Yashoda, what kind of son you have? They were trying to massage His hand. Maybe His hand is very painful, you know, He's holding for a long time. Others were holding stick to the mountain, let us give some support. Or Mother Yashoda is saying, oh Krishna, please change your hand. At least put the mountain on the right hand. He was just smiling. Huh? Holding it with the left hand. What he did actually? He defeated the maximum, the highest power of demigod king Indra by the weakest part of his body. The weakest part of his body is this finger, out of all the parts of body, the weakest part. He lifted Govardhan and defeated the highest power of Indra. After 7 days, Indra had to realize, oh, this is my lord. I am trying to become, act smart in front of my lord. So he surrendered to Krishna. And there are so many pastimes that Krishna performed. He became a great politician also. He somehow destroyed all the Kauravas from the face of the earth and made the earth suitable place for devotees to live and practice dharma, which is to attain the Supreme Lord. Every activity that he did, he was stealing cow or stealing butter from the gopis' houses, gave them so much of joy. It is said that iti druksva lila bhir ananda kunde svagosham nimajanta akhyapayantam. It is said that Lord Krishna, as a baby child, drowned the inhabitants of Gokula into pools of ecstasy. He became child for them. The Supreme Lord, who's Parabrahma, Akhila Brahmanda Nayak, the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer of the whole universes and the whole creation, is under his control. That Supreme Personality became a small baby to please Yashoda and Nanda, Vasudev and Devaki, and all the inhabitants of Gokula. So this pastimes of Krishna as Sri Krishna, as Supreme Personality of Godhead, are incomparable. They have to be relished. Simply by discussing these pastimes, simply by remembering them, one's life becomes perfect. One life becomes pure, free from all the vices and sinful contaminations. That is why this Janmashtami is there. So that we can all remember the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. The pastimes of compassion, love, care for his devotees. These are the occasions, opportunities for all of us to remind ourselves of our eternal heritage, our supreme connection. Today we also have the person who is highly connected is very respectful. They respect him, he is very highly connected. What can be the higher connection than the connection with Supreme Lord Sri Krishna? One who has Krishna, what other wealth he requires in life? We don't have to struggle. There was one lady, I'll tell you how, before I end my class, how one has to become intelligent in life, even if you want to become rich, powerful, influential, happy, with all the resources, one should use intelligence very nicely. The king of one kingdom decided that today is my birthday, so I will give anything to anybody who comes to me today, from sunrise to sunset. So the whole kingdom came, all sadhus, all poor people came, and they wanted to have gold and bhumi and cows and whatever they wanted. The king was just giving. It became sunset and all the queue ended, and the king was about to go away. At the time of sunset, he saw one old woman standing under a tree. He said, "Oh mother, please come. You have not come to ask anything. Please ask. You are the last person. I want to give you something. Today is my birthday." The mother said, No, it's all right. No, you have to ask. So he said, "I want to ask you only one thing from you, that you become my son. That's all I want." And she went home. So after a few days, the king said, "I want to visit my mother." So the prime minister said, "Wait, let me go and see where your mother is staying." She went and saw her house. It was in the middle of wilderness, all kacha road and everything dirty, and a small hut and dirty like anything. So how can king come here? So immediately he constructed a big palace there. First he made a road from king's palace to her hut. And then he made a big palace there. It's a palace without dasis and stores. So he sent hundreds of dasis, fully ornamented. He gave ornaments to this mother, nice dresses, silken saris, many mansions in the house, storehouse filled with grains and filled with jewels and filled with furniture. And then he said, "Yes, my dear king, now your mother is ready to accept you, receive you." And the king went in his nice chariot and visited her mother, and the mother fed him very nicely through all the stores. So what the mother did, what the lady did, only asked for king to become her son. As soon as the king accepted, Everything that a king had became hers. She didn't have to ask like other men, other women, give me 5 cows, give me 10 cows, give me 1 gold ornament, give me that, give me that, give me this. Nothing she had to ask separately. Similarly, we have to ask the Lord not for wealth, not for money, not for power, not for influence, not for beauty, not for knowledge. You ask that, I want to become yours. Tava asmin. I am yours, my Lord. Please accept me as your own. Make me your own. Make me your own. Make me your own. In Bengali it is said, apanara boli. Make me your own. Apna banalo. When you say that, all the property of the Lord becomes your property. It becomes your inheritance. So the goal of life is not to ask individually and separately for money, for beauty and for knowledge. You have to just ask that the Lord accepts you as His own. And all of us are actually belonging to Him only. Hum sab log unke hi hain. But we have forgotten that. And in this lifetime, if we successfully connect with Him, then His eternal roadshow will be called as successful. The reason why He is performing all these eternal shows, one after another, from one planet to another, is somehow to remind us of Himself and help us to connect Him, connect us with Him and make us His own and claim us as His own. That is why He is performing pastimes from one planet to another, tirelessly. Somewhere He is taking birth, like He is taking today here. Somewhere He is killing Putana, somewhere He is killing Kamsa, somewhere He is killing the arranging the Mahabharata war, somewhere He is establishing Dwarka, somewhere He is killing, having for war with Jarasandha 17 times, and somewhere He is running away with Rukmini, performing His marriage pastime, and somewhere He is getting Jarasandha killed by Bhima, and somewhere He is killing Bhamasura and accepting 16,100 wives as His own wives, making all total of 16,108 wives. Huh? Everywhere, somewhere these pastimes are, as I told you, somewhere it is 6 a.m. in the world at any given time. Somewhere He is performing all His pastimes, one after another. Let us all join Him in this troop. It is said that if you perfect your life in this lifetime by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord will take you as a participant of His own drama troupe in the planet where He is now performing His pastime. Like we medical doctors, when we pass out our MBBS, we do internship, you know, for 1 year. And then only we get license to practice outside. So if you perform your devotional service, bhakti, in this lifetime and become perfect, then Lord will take you immediately in the pastimes of His in some other planet. There you will get fully trained to serve the Lord in His own presence, in His own physical presence, in His pastimes. And at the end of the Lord's pastime, the Lord will transfer you to His eternal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, where there is Nitya Leela of the Lord going on. Eternal pastimes of the Lord. Those are called as Nitya Leela. And what Lord does here after appearing here as Krishna in Mathura is called Naimittika Leela. A part of His pastimes are manifested over here. But the eternal pastimes are eternally manifested in the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna resides with His gopis, with Radha, with Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, in their eternal forms. And we also will achieve our eternal form, Satchidananda form, the form that will not die, the form that will not take birth again, form that will not get old and diseased, and the form that will not suffer. That form is available for all of us, called Adi Deha, or Satchidananda Vigraha. The body is called as vastu, or that thing which dies. Vigraha is that form which doesn't die. So we call Satchidananda Vigraha. Vigraha is also a form, but it is eternal form. And Deha means the form that dies after some time with the influence of time. So let us all take sincerely to the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And in this lifetime only, we can perfect our lives and enter into the pastimes of the Lord and then enter into the eternal abode of the life. Let us chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If we all take to the holy name of the Lord very sincerely to our heart as an integral part of our life, then the Lord's efforts of appearing in this world on the day of Janmashtami will become truly successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.